Hi again, everyone. Welcome back to Radio Lee. Elizabeth is a neighbor child, and she's just 2 years old. And tonight, like many nights, she has been in her yard playing and singing whatever comes out of her lungs. And I mean that, not out of her mouth, out of her lungs. She makes me smile, and I often chuckle when I hear her. I was finishing summer dinner on my patio, and I was thinking what to do with my overabundance of strawberries. Ah, I thought, of course, Elizabeth. So I gathered a handful and I walked to the fence. I could see what she was up to then. She was in full voice now, top of her lungs and very busy spinning both wheels on an upside-down wheelbarrow, heading who knows where in her very active imagination. Spin, spin, spin. Sing, sing, sing. She is the master of her universe, steering herself as her parents busy themselves with garden tasks. Elizabeth, I called to her. She turned and, seeing me, came running. I held out my hand full of the ripe red offerings. She took one. Do you like strawberries? No response beyond the taking and the pleasure at the taking. I asked her dad, is it all right? Knowing the dangers in the world, knowing that dangers make need of teaching a child caution in taking anything from a stranger. I mean, Boo Radley is dead, right? He shouldn't be, but he is. And the paths I took as a child are now considered danger zones for wandering children. And so we teach never to take from strangers. I have to admit, even my dog, I don't let anyone offer him treats on the path. I've had several people offer. They think he's so cute and they want to give him something. I don't want to teach him to take food from strangers, I tell them. And what a loss in that. I feel it every time. What a missing of innocence. Still, there is opportunity. There is possibility. We can sit with each other. We can say, let's forge the path anyway as means of managing all the harms. Anyway, Elizabeth's father nods that it's okay. And it's true, I am not altogether stranger standing in the middle of nowhere. I can share the strawberries with her, and she takes the fruit in full faith. Not a question of innocence, just a fact. An adult sharing with a child. A child familiar with the adult. Fruit and sharing and acceptance. Her chin drips a bright red stream. I hand her the last one. Give this one to Mommy. She takes it and runs. She understands, but doesn't talk to me yet beyond the word puppy when she sees my dog. Puppy! Puppy! She is a little miracle, spinning her magic on wheelbarrow wheels in the backyard of nowhere and everywhere. I love to hear her. Children. People. People's children. Some few days later, on my walk with Checkers, I saw her. Not Elizabeth. a woman I see quite often when I walk the dog, but we haven't yet learned each other's names. This night she was bent over her garden and she wasn't looking up to greet me. It seemed she wasn't looking up deliberately, and she was not looking very happy, or if she was not exactly unhappy, perhaps she was just unsure, doubtful, maybe even a little afraid. It was hard to read her, except that I could feel her. It seemed I could feel her energy, the pulse of it, was filling the space between us with her apprehension. So I said, "Hello." And she opened to me then, responding to my greeting, and then it wasn't about anything bad, but about gardens and how her mother often grew potatoes and how she was going to try to grow some this year, and how I said I've always wanted to try. "Yeah, I had some sweet potatoes and the eyes were sprouting, so I just put them in and they're growing." I asked her what else she's growing. She's got carrots and spinach, lettuce and eggplant, and she said squash and a lot of onions, shallots and chives, and she said also a lot of peppers and, yes, tomatoes. No doubt, tomatoes. Those of us who garden in the north love our homegrown tomatoes, and I can tell you the taste is like nothing else. And to pick and eat sun-ripened fruit, well, for me, it's a tending that makes me think of the literal as metaphorical root as we yield, like our mothers or grandmothers, to every available corner of the yard, using it as space for growing. It's the old way of keeping ground, and she and her spouse have filled the corner of their lot with square foot gardening. Food, soil and seed, water and love. Food. We know what has happened the night before. There is no doubt about it. We know. We don't mention it, and she doesn't touch the hijab covering her head. I look into her eyes. We know of those who are now missing in the lives of their loved ones. 49 in all. We insist on not living with it in that moment of our neighborly chatting. We insist instead on the love it takes to grow what is wholesome, on the real love it takes to maintain any garden. I realize how her face has brightened, how there is nothing left in it that is tense or fearful or even sad. And I realize there are many ways to engage in groundskeeping. There are many kinds of fruit we can offer each other across the range of need. After all, we are none of us altogether strangers standing in the middle of nowhere. We can say hello. We can say, have a good night. This is a piece I wrote quite a few years ago called The Caged Sun. It was the last thing or part of several last things, like the raising of the boat. And there they would go out to sea, or at least out to Lake Bien. And it was like the candle lit, which was like the sun bound to rise as my future self from that bed on that last morning, for I too would soon leave, and the flame gnawed at the edges of wax like the final days did at our knowing how separation and departure were the words we didn't use. And we watched it, the wax, for its own reshaping until we decided it was as good as any piece of art. And so it burned, night after night, and into memory, where no photograph exists, but synapses and impulses and little firings unto themselves alone, making composite of what was, fixing it all for the order of my mind's recollection. And so we sat, I, rolling cigarettes, smoked to fill the quiet, and she saying, "Tu vas me manquer, chérie, mais pas tes cigarettes." I'm going to miss you, sweetie, but not your cigarettes. As she picked mercilessly at her cuticles, while the wing-backed chairs of her welcoming salon enfolded us, and as I said of the melting, it needs a name, she, sucking at the blood on her thumb, decided, yes. Le soleil en cage. The caged sun. And that was a good name, we said. Yes, a very good name. I thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time on Radio Lee.